Blog Talk Radio.
Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum. And I want to thank
you.
Thank you, thank you. And Brother Ray, can you hear me all right? Because, you know, I got my Bluetooth on and I don't know how charged it is. Can you hear me fine?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you loud and clear.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sean. Okay, of course, you know, this is Brother Kareem's show, Conscious Black Nation, and unfortunately, Brother Kareem cannot be with us this evening, so I took the opportunity to, again, bring awareness to the issue of our missing black youth, and so, inshallah, Brother Kareem, on next Monday to his show. But Tom, I think that's your phone that we have service from.
I can't hear you. Yes, I can hear you a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're getting some disturbance from your phone. Are you outside?
Yeah.
Okay, because it sounds like wind or something. Okay. Well, tonight, you know, we're not going to carry into a big, heavy discussion about missing children because, of course, our Saturday show all summer long is dedicated to that effort. However, I am going to take this opportunity and discuss some things that we have come up with thus far. Thank you to Sister Tasha X. Burton, Brother Ray, Captain Emeritus Ray Muhammad, and some others around the community. I have been on the phones with various police departments who are going to join us on Saturday. I've also reached out to Dr. Jeff Gadier and Derrica Wilson, who head up the Black and Missing Exploitation Foundation, and other people who have been involved over a long period of time. And also, I'm going to try to get some parents of children to come on and join us and share with us the atrocities that they actually go through when their children come up missing. So before we get off into anything of that nature, I'm going to allow the panel to introduce themselves. Let me see if we can get Brother Sean's phone to be quiet for a minute. Brother Sean is the national spokesperson for the Black Panther Party. So Brother Sean Miller, front and center soldier, introduce yourself. Tell us something about yourself.
Yes. Hello? Can you hear me good now?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay. Yes, as you mentioned, I'm the national spokesman for the Black Panther Party Power Movement. Our national office is in Ohio with the founder and chairman, Greg Gibson. We have 17 chapters across the country, and we're looking to expand. Basically, right now, I'm in Nebraska, so I'm trying to get things moving out here. I got a couple of meetings I have to go to this week. The Juneteenth is coming up. They have that hosted out here. So that's my role in it. Just basically given that my role in this is just, you know, to bring about the good perception of the Black Panther Party Power Movement, you know, with the backlash and everything else that, you know, how the party fell. That's how the party is viewed nowadays. So they don't look at the good stuff that they've done in the community and for the community, and even why they was formed in the first place, you know, due to the oppressive, you know, government and stuff like that. But that's my duty, is to, you know, show and prove that we ain't about that. We about change and bring the power back to the people.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Sean. And, you know, I wanted to go ahead and talk to you because I know that you're on your way to work. And I wanted to get as much information from you as possible, but I'm going to allow Brother Captain Ray to come on and present himself. Of course, he needs no introduction. And then we'll come back to you, Brother Sean. Brother Captain Emeritus Ray Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, big brother.
Wa alaikum salam, my magnificent, wonderful sister. I'm so deeply honored to be a part of this movement that is now spreading across the nation. Of course, I'm Ray Muhammad. I've been a follower of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan since I was a college student, freshman at Clark College then, now Clark AU, brought in by whom I call my spiritual father, student West Coast Regional Minister Tony Muhammad, and was trained by Brother Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. when I was a young brother in the Nation of Islam. Of course, I've held many positions in the nation. I've been first officer in a regional city at Mosque Number 15, captain of Macon, Georgia, in the Middle Georgia area, state captain of the state of Alabama. And I just love to help black people, and I love the fact that, sis is passionately involved with trying to find our children. I'm thankful to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan for just being able to be a black man in America and a Muslim that follows. So that's a little bit about myself. Not much. I'm just a humble brother who's trying to do my part in the liberation of our people.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah, and Brother Ray has been very passionate in helping me enhance the awareness of this situation with our missing black youth, which I just discovered today was more critical than what I initially thought it was. And so I'll be sharing that new information with everyone tonight. Okay, Brother Ray, where is my nephew, the one I stole from you?
I've just texted him. I know he was taking care of, he was on another call with the staff trying to get as many of the young people on board to be to join this phone call. So he will come on momentarily, and he's excited. The boy have been vigilant at going after and tweeting and posting. We're up to now well over some 45 to 50 young children that we have on our Twitter page and on our website. So he's engaging. So I'm going to reach out to him again and see what it's taking him so long to get on this line.
Oh, yes, sir, but he's working. I'm so sure because he's been tweeting all day, and I finally found him, and I'm following him, and he's following me, and he's been tweeting, and I've been tweeting, so I know he's busy. All praise is due to Allah. Okay.
Could you give me that number again? He just asked.
646.
Yes, ma'am.
716-5971.
He'll be on in a couple of minutes.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, hold on, 770. I'm going to take your question. So, Brother Sean, I want to come to you. Like I said, I know you don't have that much time. You're on your way to work. I want to come to you and ask you, as a national person, what do you think the potential problem will be in this effort to find missing black children?
Can you repeat that?
I said, I want to know, what do you think that the Black Panthers' role could be in the effort to find our missing black youth?
Oh, a lot of things that go as far as our role in it is, first of all, going to the source, the parents, first and foremost, of the children that's, you know, missing, and try, you know, and take it from there, take the necessary steps, you know, where this started through our own investigations. I mean, I don't want to sit and rant, and I don't want, hopefully I don't take up too much of your time, but I feel that there's a lot of factors that play into these missing kids that really is not being taken into consideration. And one is that, you know, us as a people, too, we get caught up in trying to be part of this capitalistic society that we forget about our kids, and, you know, our kids is looking other places to fit in. So they out there, they out and about, and I always say they out left to the wolves. So this is where, you know, these people, these predators come in and they take them, you know, and then the system itself, you know, it's a sickness for these child predators to even be allowed back on the streets. You know, they charge them as a regular crime when it should be something, you know, as a mental health issue. You know, these people need help to really sit down and, you know, do that with kids and stuff like that, man. It's a mental health issue. And I think that needs to be addressed and stuff like that, you know. So those are the things that we need to take into consideration too. And also, like, our leaders that's out there. I know for me, I got a lot of things. Like I said, I don't want to ramble, and a lot of stuff that I'm about to get into in regards to pushing this movement out here. That's one of it that's involved. I mean, we need to kind of, I wouldn't say separate ourselves, but stop thinking the way they think. We want to be so integrated with them. And as you can see, and this is part of another issue, is that they don't want us to be a part of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having these conversations in regards to finding our kids and, you know, why they don't care so much about finding our kids and it's taking so long. You know, the percentage of us in this country for number one is, what, 14 to 15%, and there's over 60 to 70% of us, our kids missing. I mean, you know, what is that saying? You know, and they go on missing for years without the parents even getting any type of follow-ups or clues of where they at and stuff like that. I mean, come on. I got a baby girl, you know, 1 year old. I didn't want to get into that. Oof, you know, so that's I feel these parents, man, you know, and, you know, I'm going to do all I can to get people organized. There's a lot I have on my plate as far as being a national spokesman and then getting with the other leaders in Ohio and the other chapter members to actually organize. I mean, and then forming a coalition with other brothers across the country as well. So that's a fact that we need to form coalitions instead of these little separate entities, you know, trying to be the one-stop shop. We need to come together. I mean, when these people took over the country, they had France, they had Spain, they had, you know, different parts of Europe coming together for one common cause. That's what we need to do as a people, understand it, and solve our own issues. If we keep looking to these people for answers, and that's what we're going to continue to do, leave these questions go unanswered. So we have the knowledge, you know, and that's where part of power. We lead the power to them. We have power. We have our own power. We have economic power as well. And we, as long as we keep, like I said, depending on them, we all going to continue to have this issue.
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you, Brother Sean. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Brother Ray, you have something you wanted
yes,
to
ma'am.
Share before I open up the phone lines? Yes, sir.
Well, I'm hoping that those of us who are on the line really take a careful analysis of this major epidemic that's happening in Black America. And we can put color to this if we like, but a child, regardless of what their color, class, or creed, a child is an innocent prospect in this whole wicked system of them being kidnapped. So although my focus first is on Black youth and Black children, then my heart goes out because I, like brother, am a parent. And I'm an uncle. I'm a cousin. And it would just tear me up tremendously for someone to come and tell me that my child, they're all of age now where they can deal pretty much themselves, but one of my children or my nephews or someone that I know have been abducted. And we as adults are not vigilant enough to maintain and protect our children and secure them in the environment whereby these children are feeling safe. So I think that it is so vitally important that all of us engage in finding, first of all, bringing awareness to, I had no idea, sis, until you brought this to my attention, that so many of our children, well over 271,000+ young Black children go missing every year. I had no idea that it was as bad as that. I have heard of the sex trafficking I heard of the kidnapping of children, but I did not know that it was at to the extent that it is, which have me so passionately involved with this now. And I have given instructions to a company, to my company, that all young people are a part of it, to make sure that they go on their Twitter page and they tweet. They don't, young people in the teenage 25 and under don't too much deal with Facebook. But I've ordered my nephew to be, who is the vice president of my company, general manager of my club, to get on Facebook, and I want him posting from the company's perspective pictures of these missing children. And if those of us who may have businesses or may be in organizations, engage our organization, engage our constituency into bringing awareness to this problem here, I think we can begin to start nipping this stuff in the bud. There's no reason that a predator should feel safe coming into one of our neighborhoods, taking one of our children. And those things, yes, the law enforcement are overwhelmed with what they're overwhelmed with, but they cannot. You can't tell me that we as citizens of our own neighborhood cannot deal with those individuals who would try to come in and do harm to our children. You know, we say protect and secure the black woman, but what about these defenseless little children who depend totally on us, depend on us to feed them, to clothe them, to give them shelter, to secure them, to protect them? What about them? And you hear us in the nation so often say we're going to protect them, what we'll do if you put your hands on a black woman, but what about these little babies who people are abducting in our own neighborhoods? You can Google the place where you live, like my nephew did, and found out, I mean, it hit him so hard that I felt his spirit. I think he's on the phone now, and he'll be able to speak for himself. But I felt his spirit when he was so touched and so moved by the ages of these teenagers and at the rate that they're coming up missing. And then these cases go unsolved. Yes, we need the law enforcement. We should partner up with them. But we don't lean so totally on them to protect and secure that we brought into the world. So I'm hoping that the people on the phone lines would give some advice and give some encouragement and say they're going to do whatever needs to be done to go after this issue and put a dent in them going after our children.
Yes, sir. All praises do come out. Yes, sir, Brother Wright. Okay. I'm going to take this call, and I do have Brother Jamil on the phone, but we're going to hear from area code 770. They've been holding a long time. Area code 770, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
First time caller. Just want to say truly blessed to find this number and see what's going on this line. I was born into the Nation of Islam. I am 49 years old, and my father was the first minister to bring the Nation of Islam to the Virgin Islands. And yes, ma'am. Truly thank Allah for, you know, for my father and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I just, you know, truly blessed that, you know, this line is here, sister, where we can come and dialogue and put the plan in motion. And, you know, I'm definitely going to be calling more often and sharing the number with family and friends. And I'll definitely be listening. So I just wanted to chime in and say this is a blessing to be on this line. That's what I'm like.
Can you tell us your name?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Waba Mahmoud Muhammad. And Waba means a gift from Allah. Waba Mahmoud.
Okay.
My brother Waba.
All praise to Allah. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, beloved. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Millimil, are you on the phone?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I am on the phone. All praise is due to Allah. I am on the phone. How are you, sister?
I am fine. This is, I don't know if you know it or not, but I told Brother Ray I was stealing you away from him. You my nephew now. He can't have
yes,
you
ma'am.
Anymore.
Yes, ma'am. It'd be right on time. It being missing children Mondays, it'd be right on time.
Wow. That's why I love him. He is so creative. This young man is so smart and so energetic. Wow, he reminds me of a young sister, Aziza, when I was about 18 and 19 years old. I mean, I was nonstop 24 hours. So, Brother Jamil, tell us from a very young man's perspective. You have been posting and tweeting a lot of the day, and how is this affecting you when you kind of step into the realization of what is happening with our youth? Because in a minute, I'm going to share some information I obtained today and some more concrete, if you will, statistics that I think is going to blow us all out of the water. So, Brother Jamil, share with us about what was going through your mind today.
Well, today, firstly, I decided that it would be great for us to hit close to home, as close to home as possible. So we searched Georgia Missing and Exploited Teens from the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children. And I guess it hit me because I have a one-year-old baby brother, and a lot of the missing or the abducted were infants. They were of the ages of 1, 2, 3, 4. They had 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, but just the fact that an infant would be abducted so young, and then they have to try to modernize the pictures because over time they haven't been successful in finding the child. So it's been 2 to 3 years. They don't even know how the child would look, you know. So for me, it's been heartbreaking. It's been humbling, but it's also been a sign that this work we have to put in. It's not an option. It's not even an option. So I would do everything in my power to make sure. I already know every Monday we will have Missing Children Mondays up, and we're getting retweets. Hopefully we'll have some new people helping us out next week. We'll finish the night on in strong until 12 o'clock. But I really thank you, Sister Queen, Sister Aziza, for the opportunity to just be a part of this, and my uncle as well for telling me to call in, because this is beautiful, and it makes me feel good to be able to help in such a real way, you know. What more real of community service can I be a part of than helping somebody find their child?
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise to Allah. Thank you, Brother Jamil. That's my new nephew, y'all. But he has done a tremendous, tremendous job. And we have one more person on the phone, and then I'm going to share some statistics with everyone. Last four numbers, 4477. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Tasha X from Richmond, Virginia.
Alaikum salam. And this is the sister who designed that beautiful flag I've been posting all day. Thank you, dear sister. How are you?
I'm well, sister. I'm kind of busy, but I definitely wanted to check in with you guys and just touch bases. And actually, my son created that flyer for me. He just graduated from Atlanta School of Music and for audio engineering,
wow,
and graphic engineering. So he did that for me real quick. He wasn't happy with it. But he
did
that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Tasha. I know you're busy and you have other things to do, so thank you for chiming in. And while you're here, Sister, I don't want you to miss these petitions because this is going to make us look at this situation the way it really is. Now, of course, previously I've been getting some information from the Justice Department, but actually there's an organization called, I think it's called Black Missing Youth for Exploitation or something, Black and Exploited Children. And through that department, I got in touch with a lady. Her name is Olivia Shaw. And Olivia is a person who gathers data for different organizations. And I did not know, what I did not know is that there is a such thing as media control. And we hear about media control most often when we're dealing with things like an epidemic, when they try to downplay war back in the 50s and 60s. You know, we used to hear how they used to downplay war and how they downplayed epidemics until they're really, really serious. And the only way they really get serious is that the people who are actually affected organize and come together and start making noise, and then the media has to pay attention. So what I found out was that they tell us that there are 949,700 missing children in the United States, and that 33% of them are black children. Well, according to Ms. Shaw, that's not true. What it is that almost 800,000 children a year come up missing. So 35 to 41%, depending on how they are classified, this is another thing, because if you are a biracial child, then if your mother is white of the Caucasian persuasion, then you are classified as a white child. If your mother is black and your father is white or your father is Hispanic, you are classified as a black child. So these biracial children get kind of thrown into this whirlpool of ethnicity, and the numbers are not accurate. So out of 800,000 children that are coming up missing a year, 35 to 43% of them are black, but only 8% of the children that come up missing are ever found or come back or return home on their own or are found. So
Lord have mercy.
The number that I have been given from the Justice Department, that overall since 1983, we have approximately 271,000 children that have been missing. Well, I found out today that it's not true.
Wow.
We have over 4 million black children that are missing.
Wow.
Damn. All over the country.
Damn. Oh, my God.
From the earliest recorded period, which started in the 1940s. So from 1940 up until 2014, we have 4 million plus children that have come missing that have been documented as missing and never found.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh,
that is a nation in itself.
Yes. Wow.
That is a nation within itself. And the thing about it, I can't even explain to you, but I'll tell you what. You go on YouTube, You go on Google and you look up the name Larry Stackhouse Jr. out of New York. That will give you a taste of what parents have to go through. I did not know Brother Ray and Brother Sean. I did not know that not only if your child is a significant age that they're classified as a runaway, I got that. 10 years and above, they're a runaway. 9 years and below, depending on the circumstances under which they disappear, that determines whether or not there will be an Amber Alert, whether or not there will be some urgency. But now I found out that the older children who come up missing, more than likely 10, 12 years of age, especially black males, they are associated with being part of drug trafficking or gangs. This eliminates or shifts the responsibility in the police department to put a priority on finding the individual, so that in the event that the community or a citizens review board comes into play about how many cases are being solved, they just shift your children over to gang-related activity. So it's not a priority. Shift your children over to drug activity, drug trafficking activity, so now the missing child is not a priority.
Wow.
So here we have young children who don't have a criminal record. A criminal record is even being established on them as they are coming up missing and murdered and abducted. Because if you're 12 and 13 and 15 and you're black and you stay in the inner city, they're going to create a criminal profile on you even though you might be missing and abducted and murdered. And so by them creating that criminal profile on you, even if they find your child is not so-called rescued. Your child is arrested and investigated. And then you get the call that your child has been found, and yet we have them down here in jail for whatever reason. But even at that, that's only 8%. Only 8% of our children are being found. Our children are returning home. I'm not saying that we as black people don't have children that run away. Of course we do. I'm not saying that we as black people don't have children affiliated in gangs or in drug trafficking. Of course we do. But if it is reported that your child is missing, they're not giving a damn about the circumstances under which your child comes up missing. They alleviate the pressure that is put on them as law enforcement by categorizing them as either a drug dealer or affiliation with a gang. And this is one of the reasons why the media does not get involved, because if you, Brother Ray, call the media to report a child missing and saying, look, I don't think that the police is giving enough attention to it, then what the media has the responsibility to do, they contact the police department, they tell the media, oh, well, that's a gang-affiliated situation. Did the parent tell you that the child was involved in drug trafficking? And so nobody has an interest because the public is being desensitized to the situation. You're giving the idea not to give a damn because this is another bad child. This is another child being gone astray, and so ain't no need in looking for him. He's just going to be a statistic anyway. So they mentally condition us to throw the child away and detach us from our humanity to care and and to be concerned and to be proactive in looking for our children. And that is why the media, to a certain degree, have their hands tied. And how you get the media to get involved is that you have to organize. You can't just have the sole family or the sole parent go and ask for media attention. You have to organize as a people and insist and tell your story, because the police are not going to bother to tell the entire story. And I just found that to be, I think that's even worse or just as bad as the children coming up abducted itself, because here we have a system that's supposed to protect and serve, and you use that opportunity to criminalize an innocent child.
That's why we have to educate our young children.
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, Sister Tasha. What were you saying?
Well, I'm talking to, my son. He just graduated from college, and it's very important that we speak to our youth about how to properly use social media, because they are being hunted. They are under attack. And they don't realize that this social media builds a case against them. They have to be aware of the things that they post, because it can be misinterpreted. They'll have, my son was at a frat party. He'd take a picture at a frat party. And, they having a good time and all of this. But then they'll use that to say that he's a partier. I see people posting on Facebook, young people, when they're drinking, when they're dressed inappropriately, or just out at the beach, maybe having a good time. Now, it may just be that, but the way the media will make that look, they'll use it against you to make it look like, that this child was a partier. Now, I remember reading about this one case of a young lady who they labeled a runaway. But her parents said, she was a good girl. She was abducted. But they used her Facebook page against her. She was out at a party having a good time with her friends. She posted a lot of pictures. And they put all of these pictures and all of her Facebook and all of her tweets, and the way they can make anybody look guilty. So our young people have to be aware social media is good, but it's very dangerous, and it could be used against you. So we have to be careful. We have to educate them. If we're not talking about anything positive or spreading information, really, what else is there? They're posting, the children are posting nonsense these days, and so are we sometimes. And we have to get away from that and realize that everything we put out there can be used against us. It really can, and we have to start to educate them.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think people are very about letting their children get on social media. But if you remember Trayvon Martin, and when Trayvon Martin, when his character came into question, they went right to his Facebook.
Absolutely.
And showed all of these different pictures of him. And that is the same tactic that they use to desensitize us to our children's lives. They tried to make Trayvon Martin to be this terrible, terrible, terrible person and worthy of death. So that's the first thing that they do. It's called character assassination. So when they assassinate the character of somebody, the public doesn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's all right to die. It's all right to come up missing. You know, it's all right to come up murdered. It's all right to be tricked out, because if you got your little 12-year-old daughter on Facebook and her breasts hanging out, then they're already looking at her as though, you know, she's a piece of meat. So if she is abducted and put into sex trafficking, you know, they're saying, oh, good for her. That's what she promoted. That's what her parents allowed her to do. And her life means nothing. So we have 4 million plus children, black children alone, that's missing. And it's sad because we as a people are not doing anything, anything. I'm pretty sure that the parents are, you know, despondent, that, you know, the anguish that they feel and the helplessness that they feel. But how can we as a people be so insensitive, knowing that we will die and go to hell for our own children, and as if other parents don't feel that about their children? And you have to treat people the way you want to be treated. What would you want your community to do if it was your child that came up missing?
Yeah.
We have to think about that.
Go ahead. Someone wanted to speak. So, like, what me, you know, being a single mother, and dealing with this and diving into this investigation as I have been, it's very scary as a single mom. And all that I think that I could do, my little part, everybody has a small part to do. And I live in a housing complex, and I went to Walmart. And Walmart wall, as you enter and exit, is full of missing children. That's what they placed on their wall. And it's mostly children of color.
That's
so what can I do as a single mom and trying to be safe in the same sense? I take down some names, I take some pictures, and start right here in my apartment complex. There are lots of single parents here, single women with children, and I just talk to them. And I'm just trying to start to make them aware so that we can bring our children together and make our children aware. And the more that I investigate and I'm sharing this with my daughter, the more she is starting to understand why mommy is the way she is. When I say, where are you going? Don't do this. Don't do that. When you get the children involved, it's very hard for them, though, to see some of the things and to read some of the things. But it's necessary because they are under attack, and we have to be there to talk to them, to walk them through it, to give them some understanding so that they can always be on the alert as well. And also to talk to the single mothers as well, because there's a young lady here, right here in Chesterfield, Virginia, that I posted today, 26 years old. She went to work 5 o'clock in the morning, and they haven't seen her since. So not only do we have to bring awareness to our children to be on alert, but to our young women as well, because they are hunting us as well. So we have to be aware. And, I remember, Sister Queen, when you said, today I charge the FOI. And I think about that because our FOI and our cities have to take a stronger stand when it comes to the single women in their mosque. They need you, FOI. We need you to be escorting us home. We need you to be around our children, around our sons when they don't have a father. We need you to be more present, and we, the MGT, have to allow them to do that. But we have to go back to the way it used to be. I remember you couldn't leave the mosque without having an escort. You signed a deed. You know, we have to get back to that, and we need our brothers to step up and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. and be there for us, because, you know, we are under attack, not just the children, but the women too. And I was reading an old article in the Final Call today that I also posted that had statistics. I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me. But there were more missing black males than there were females.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
And I said, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to, you know, this is a very serious time, so we have to realize that. And the minister said our righteousness will sustain us. And we have to wear the full armor of the law and walk our posts in a perfect manner and do all that we can. If we all just do a little bit, then we don't have to do a lot. I've asked many people just to repost what I post, just to repost. Lots of people did, but a lot of people didn't. And all it takes is one click of a button to say share. Just share it. If you can't go out in the community, like the minister said, you don't have to teach. Just repeat what I say. Just share what I say. Just retweet what I say. That's all we have to do. Just press that button and get it out there. That's all we're asking. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And Brother Sean, are you still there? Okay, I think we lost him. Making sure. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Ray.
Wow. I mean, let me just say that what you have just articulated to us, sis, is it hit me so damn hard that I'm actually holding back the emotions and the tears. But it takes me to a scripture that's in the Bible, and so often those of us who may have some words of God, and until we internalize what those words really mean and make those words applicable to our social set of circumstances today, then reading what happened 6, 4, and 2,000 years ago don't mean a damn. But it takes me to the scripture, because black children have always, particularly the male child, have always been under attack. There's always been a decree ever since there's been a Caucasian on the planet. There's always been a decree to kill and destroy that male child. During the time of Moses,
yes,
there was a decree to kill that child. During the time of Jesus, there was a decree. 2,000 years later, there was a decree. And the pharaohs and those come, let us deal wisely with them. For someone to deal wisely with you, meaning that individual have a certain amount of wisdom that he's dealing off of. He's calculating what the wisdom that he's dealing with is going to bring about. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they join on to an enemy of ours, remember us in our wrongness, and come against us. The attack on black man, on that black child, is a systematic plan to destroy our black youth, particularly that male child. And those of us, since you are absolutely correct, we can't be church-going Muslims and see our community going to hell in a gasoline basket. We can't do that anymore. We have to come out.
That's
because
right.
These children are coming up missing, and we are the ones that can stop this mess. We join with those who are God-fearing individuals from the church, from the social and civic communities. We join with anyone that fears God and God only. Whatever you call him is not relevant to me. As long as you call on him in a time like this, and we are absolutely in need of divine intervention, but we've had teachers and we've had examples by which we can go after this thing. I don't know why we have to wait until it hit our doorstep before we get involved with it. And you are absolutely correct. They have so desensitized us when it comes to our black children, and then they make it seem as though that's dealing wisely with them. Make it seem as though that whatever they got, they're supposed to get.
Yeah.
And that is crazy to me.
These wicked scientists, these wicked scholars, and we got to understand that we're dealing with a devil here. And we're dealing with a Satan here, and he don't give a damn about the black man, because for him to care about us means for that to be his destruction. So he don't want to deal with us. So that's why the police department don't have nothing to do with us and classify our 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds as some gang-related and criminalize those individuals. Hell, they don't even know. These are babies. 12 years old.
Yes.
Jameer was 10 and 12 years old. Ain't nowhere in the hell I could let that boy get out of our sight. My son, who was 10 and 12, can you imagine the boys being thrown into a criminal, being made criminals at such a young age, and then you wonder why they involve themselves in criminal activity. We have got to be better at going after this man, and I have been tweeting, and I'm calling on Farrakhan Twitter Army. I'm calling on the Army of God now to stand up and do what God have commissioned us to do, and we don't need permission from nobody to save our damn community. What the hell is wrong with us? That I gotta have a national platform when it's locally they're coming into our neighborhood taking our children. And I got to wait on somebody from Chicago or from D.C. or someone else to organize, mobilize, and deal with that force that's going after our people. I say we crazy as hell. And I say that we lack that God has already given us permission to do whatever we got to do. If they come into our neighborhood, police don't want to have nothing to do with them. They can't catch them. Then we're the FOI. We're trained. We're the Army of God, man. We're very peaceful people until you make us violent. You come after our children, then we'll teach you peace in a very violent fashion, and then you know not to ever deal with our children like that. And I'm not per se talking about my own biological son or my own biological children, because it takes a village to raise these children. It takes a village to secure these children. And since you're absolutely correct, and I want to apologize on behalf of the FOI, because I am one, for being derelict in our duties and not for providing the security for our sisters, whereby they will provide the protections for their children. I apologize on behalf of that, and I'm going to make it my business to be better at that, and then get those who are registered Muslims, registered FOI, to join in this effort, man, to go after these people who are going after our children. 4 million black children? In less than 50 or 60 years, 4 million children? But my God, that hit me like you would not believe a whole nation we have destroyed. So the enemy is doing his job. He's busy doing his job. We should be about the business of saving these children by protecting them, man, and being vigilant in the neighborhood and letting them see a strong image of a black man. Your child is my nephew and my niece. And we have to begin to start looking at it like that, or these children will continue to come up missing. No, we're going to have to be better by that. So, sis, on behalf of the FOI, I apologize for us, and we're going to do better at making sure that the sisters and our children are secure, because that is our fiduciary responsibility, the security of our nation. You destroy those children, then you're destroying the nation.
All praise be to Allah. Yes, sir, Brother Ray. All praise is due to Allah. Okay. Let me share something else with you all that I found out from the Department of Justice. So, you know, it's just a question mark how accurate it is. But when it comes to how they have it classified, African-American girls, and we're talking about girls, just the girls between the ages of 5 and 18, that they suspect that 60% of them have been taken by sex traffickers.
Wow.
And I asked the question, well, why such an astronomical number for sex traffickers? And they say because these girls, under the circumstances in which they disappear, they just seem to vanish. And there's no evidence of foul play, of anything like that that is ever found, you know, like clothing, DNA, or anything like that to indicate that the child has been injured or killed. So their whole entire being is gone, and they feel like this is an underground sex, well, they know it's an underground sex trafficking ordeal that has taken place. And when it comes to our girls, 60% of them that are being taken, they suspect that they're going into sex trafficking. Now, let me just say this. Because I just love my father, my biological father. He always told me, he said, sugar, the opposite of sense is nonsense. For the police to know that 60% of these girls are in sex trafficking, that means that they know. They know who they are. And if you do any background research on sex trafficking, most of it involve politicians. All of these heads of state from foreign countries, all of these businessmen with these mega millions. These are the people who are preying on our children. And I'm gonna be graphic for a minute because I want people to understand what these girls go through. What I went through being a missing child for 8 days is nothing. I got tied up, I got shot up, but I'm here, I'm alive, I'm whole, I'm sane. Let me tell you something that an officer in New York shared with me. He said, and I don't mean to be nasty, vulgar, but I'm just going to tell you what these little girls go through because I want to speak to your own humanity. They said that they found a videotape in a drug trade. Sorry. Okay, so on the videotape in the drug raid, there was a man who was an adult who was trying to have sex with a 5-year-old.
My God.
And the man said, I cannot penetrate her. So the other person said, well, make her perform an oral sex act. This child was 5 years old. So you think about the 8s, the 9s, the 10s, the 11s, the 12s, the 16s, the 15s. Imagine what they're going through. And this is real.
Heartbreak.
This is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what happens to them. Many of them die in that situation. They die in that situation because of the brutality done to their bodies that they can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that is tragic to think that a 5-year-old girl is a prostitute and that the report I got from the Justice Department today says that they have to endure 20 to 30 men a day. You imagine?
Oh, my God.
This is how real this is. They're making thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off of our children, and we sit in our communities and do nothing until it hits our doorstep. Then we want heaven and earth to move to help us, but we won't help our next-door neighbor. We won't help people in our community. And at this point, I'm not giving a damn about black and white. A child, right. An innocent child, has a right to life. They have a right to attain their innocence as long as they possibly can. And we as a people, as a whole, nobody is crying about this. You got Queen Latifah talking about 200 missing girls in Africa, where she's from New Jersey, where there's over 7,000 missing people there. Even our celebrities have been desensitized to this. And this is a process. This is a chemistry that they're using to desensitize our situation. And they want to bring up the attention in Africa. Look, my grandfather's from Kazaran. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't give a damn about Africa. They never done nothing for us. But don't let this government fool you, talking about they're so concerned about what's going on in Africa. You don't care about what's that's going on in Africa. You follow the money and you'll get to the real problem. And use common sense. If the girls are missing, right? If 200 girls are captured and missing, then whose damn pictures are you showing all over the media? If you got that picture, you know what it is.
Okay.
Come on now. Is it just me?
No,
ma'am.
So these girls being portrayed as being missing are not even the girls that are missing, if there are any girls missing at all. That's game. You got my girl, my girl, Sheila Jackson Lee, calling a press conference with money in her hand, talking about we're going to send money to Africa to find missing children. What an insult to black people here in America. An insult. You going to find somebody clear across the continent, but you won't find nobody in District D, Houston, Texas, where you were elected from? I got a problem with that. Now I'm going to be quiet. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be quiet because it's getting there. We do got a couple questions in the chat room, but let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, you have a comment, a question, please press one on your dial pad. And I'll just leave this to Sister Tasha or Brother Ray. Brother Ray, they're asking about what do you think parents should do better. I'm going to let you answer that, Brother Ray. Brother Jamil, whoever want to answer it.
It's very, very short and very sweet. And I thank you all for holding your generations accountable. But the time comes that I hold my generation accountable as well. We have to show leadership. We have to show accountability for the people that's younger than us that listen to us before they listen to their own parents, because that exists. That's a reality. Especially in the social network piece, they'll listen to us because they feel like we're more relatable than their parents. You know, their parents didn't have Instagram and Twitter, but we do, and we've had Instagram and Twitter. There's a certain way that we have to carry ourselves, especially us that know better. So I firstly want to say that, and I let my uncle go from there.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that accountability, Brother Jamil. You're absolutely right. Okay, Brother Ray.
Well, my nephew is so right, but the answer to the sister's question, or the person's question that was in the chat room, I think the parents, and I as a parent, we have to be more aware of the activity of our children. We're going to have to engage our children in all aspects of their development. So what, retire and don't want to be bothered with them at this particular hour, but this is the hour that they want to be bothered with us. And if they come up to us and they question us, or they come up to us for some attention, and they do it so often, But so many times and so often we're too tired from work. We're too tired for the struggles that we've gone through throughout the day. We're just tired of just the bills. Or we're just tired, period. And then because we're so tired, then our children begin to become neglected because we're trying to get a moment to ourselves. What the hell is wrong with us? We don't have moments to ourselves when our children are involved. We engage our children and we sit down with them and ask them, and have anybody came up to them or come up to them suggesting anything inappropriate to them. Or watch your child, because whatever your child is going on with your child mentally, they will show a physical manifestation of that if we're wise enough to keep our eyes on that and see what signs they're throwing at us. We have to be, if we have allowed our children to be on social network, then you're on social network with your children. Long are the days where we can be afraid of the internet. Long are the days we need to be afraid of social media, and we don't know how to tweet. We don't know how to get on Instagram. We don't know how to Facebook. We don't know how to do the things that our children are doing. But our children, if you just sit and ask them, they will teach you. I knew nothing, case in point. I knew nothing about social media until my nephew, who's on the phone, Jameel Muhammad, got me to get a Facebook account. And the boy began to start teaching me how to navigate my way around social media. And hell, I got good at it. Then I started checking his behind out. I started checking my children out because I want to make sure that I know what you're doing and who you are engaged with on social media. Your friends gonna be my friends. Hell, my friends can be your friends. But at least I know what's going on. So parents, we have to sit down and talk to our children, even when we don't think our children can understand. Of course, they can understand. When they was in your womb, they understood movement. When they came out, they understood things. No one taught them about sucking a breath when they came out their mother's womb. Put them on the breath, and they start sucking from the breath, and then life, and then they start getting nutrients from that they were sucking on. So our children are very intelligent. So don't think that they don't know what's going on, because they do know what's going on. We just have to be more informed on what they are doing. Talk to them about strangers as young as they can. Talk to them about not going up to strangers, not taking anything from strangers. Don't have conversation with strangers. Talk to them about if they identify what happens if you're going home and you think somebody's following you. They got to yell. They got to scream. They got to run. They got to do whatever it is to get away from an alleged attacker. We have to inform our children and then sit them down and engage them on this missing children piece so they can see how they can fit into that.
Yeah.
Show
them
a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 15-year-old. Show that little baby, that little bitty child that's missing, and then explain to them in a language that they can understand. Don't be trying to talk above them or over their head. Talk to them where they can understand and then get feedback from them. So you know they understood what the conversation is about.
Yes, sir.
Check for understanding. So often we'll talk to our children, and then we don't ask our children to regurgitate that we just said so that we know that they understand what was being said. No, stop talking at them and talk to them. Because if we start talking to our children, they'll start talking back to us. And they will start informing us and let us know what's really going on. It's a scientific methodology how to raise these children. No, we don't have a book on it. There's some of the things my mother did I never do with my children. But I had children when I was taught by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan how to be a good parent. Not to say my mother was not the best parent she could be with the wisdom that she had, but she just didn't have the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that he got from God. So, of course, I would know a little bit more on how to develop and how to raise these children because I'm under divine instruction from a divine man. And we have to let our children know, engage them again. Please engage our children. Go to the park with them. Go out to the movies with them. Have an outing out. Sit down and play Sorry, the game, Monopoly, the games I grew up on. You can get them off internet if you just give them something else to do. So I'm hoping that I answered the sister's question, but those are a few things that I think that we can do to kind of inform our children. So if there ever come a time where they think they're being attacked or followed or something like that, then they'll know basically how to handle that situation.
Yes, sir. Whew. Okay, Brother Rakim. Brother Rakim is the founder of Nation Building Movement. And he has joined us tonight, which is a rare treat. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rakim.
Welcome to our family. How you all doing? How you all doing?
Hi, sir.
We mad as hell right now, so go ahead.
I know you mad as hell. I heard you going off, and this is such an intense show. I am proud to be able to come on the panel to not only listen to the show, but I'm speechless. I'm serious. I'm speechless because y'all went off. Seriously, went off. Y'all going off. There's a Gidget. I thought she was gonna throw a rock over there across 9,000 miles across to Africa or something. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, y'all don't want me to start talking about Africa. I'm serious.
Well,
no,
you know,
I'm not
a
black person.
Well, you know what you said. A lot of people may have heard you say that, and they may get sensitive to the fact that you said that, but what you said is the truth. Why would you be so concerned about children in Africa when you got children, so many children over here missing, abused, kidnapped, whatever the case may be, murdered? You got so many children that are victims here, right in your neighborhood, down the street, across the street, in your community, in your city. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Exactly.
But I do want to say something.
You know,
I want to say something.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead. Please.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead,
go ahead. What I wanted to say was this right here. I don't know if you all ever touched on this subject, but we touched on the subject of the sex trade, you know, human trafficking or whatever. But there's also an epidemic that's going on in the world as concerning the black market. When you got young black men missing, you know, some people, you know, most people, when they think of missing people, they normally think of children or they think of women. And so there's a big epidemic of black men coming up missing, and most people don't believe it, don't understand it, or shall I say, they're not familiar with black men coming up missing as they are women and children. But there's an epidemic going on in the black market where, and Europeans, I'm not bashing Europeans, but we know Europeans' bodies are not as strong or as put together as the original man. Am I right or wrong?
That's correct.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Now, I said that to say this. I saw a movie a few years ago. I think probably about 5 years ago. I saw a movie. It was called Night Train, I believe. And they had these teenagers. They were Caucasian, of course. But a lot of times when they put movies out, these movies are actually letting us know. These movies are giving messages about what's going on at home and abroad. And a lot of times, we as black people, we are the victims. We always want to believe that somebody else are victims of crimes other than us. And we shed these crocodile tears for other people, but we don't give a damn about our own people. So I was watching a movie. It was some athletes. They were on a train, and I think they were traveling, going to Russia. I think they were in the Olympics or whatever. And they were getting killed on this train. But on the same train, they had white people or other people, shall I say. They were on the train. They were rich people, and they had paid for body parts. And so what they did was, since these athletes were in good physical shape, and they were very healthy, very strong, these people on the train had murderers on the train, doctors, very trained doctors. They will kill these athletes. The athletes will come up missing. They will kill them and take their body parts from them. And at the end of the movie, they showed a little Chinese boy, he had blue eyes. And the reason he had the blue eyes is because they had taken the blue eyes from a patron on the train. And so I said all of that to say this. When you see young black men coming up missing, it's not because somebody want to put them in sex trafficking or you know, anything like that. It's because they have body parts, you know, that people are stealing.
Well, you know, we already know that NASA's already been busted for trying to make a new man. And this came out maybe 8 years ago, maybe a little longer than that. But they were harvesting, at first, they were harvesting healthy organs from people who were not organ donors. And if a black male was shot, or if he was killed in a car accident or whatever, and he was between a certain age, I think it was 18 and 35, whether he had signed to on his license to be a donor or not, NASA, in particularly, and their scientists were harvesting these organs, doing stem cell research, actually taking healthy organs and providing transplants to people who had massive amounts of money to pay. And, you know, they didn't want to die. You know, white folks are scared to die. So they were paying all these millions. And NASA was actually doing the testing to see if these people were matching. And it was an underground thing. So we know they have been harvesting organs. And Brother Rakim is absolutely right, because even though we're like 43% of the missing that come up, out of that number, you know, I think the ratio is almost like 55 to 45 when it comes to the men and the women. But the men certainly exceed the amount of women that come up missing, or girls that come up missing. The boys, however, seem to have more circumstances surrounding their disappearance more so than the girls. The girls are just appearing to be, you know, to vanish. The boys are going through, you know, the suspect circumstance, not the suspect list, but the suspect circumstances for black missing males is much longer than the girls. They classified the girls missing as sex trafficking, stranger abduction, or sexual predator. But with the boys, they have those three. They have kidnapping. Now, kidnapping is one or two things. You can either be kidnapped by maybe a non-custodial parent, or, you know, a stranger can kidnap you, or they have this organization of kidnappers. You know, people kidnap you for ransom. They kidnap you for different reasons. But using that word kidnap is, for black boys, is very unusual. Because when they say kidnap, that puts you in a whole different other category. Kidnap, abducted, whatever. It puts you in a whole other category, because the circumstances surrounding your disappearance varies so very much. Sex trafficking is one thing. Stranger abduction, kidnapping, that's another thing. And then sexual predators. So, but in order to know or to have the idea that you have been taken by a sexual predator really is determined by the circumstances under which you have been taken. And more than anything, altogether, 60% of our people are suspected to be involved in sex trafficking. But I'm sorry, this sticks in my craw. I just don't believe that. And the reason why I don't believe that is because when we look at these numbers that we thought were in the few hundreds of thousands, and now that we know that are in the millions, since 1940. It just takes me back, Brother Ray, you can help me with this. It just takes me back to that old plan that they had coming right out of slavery, going up until the days of J. Edgar Hoover, when they were talking about how to eradicate a race. And you eradicate a race by killing the seed. And they actually had a serial killer, I can't think of his name. I don't know if it was Henry Lee Lucas or Kenneth McDuff or one of them, who were John Wayne Gacy, I think, may have been the one, that favored white boys but would kill black boys for the purpose of getting rid of or making a contribution to society, as they saw it, to eradicate the black race, to keep down the possibility of a rise of a black intelligence. You know, they didn't want another black Martin Luther King, another black Malcolm X. They sure didn't want a Farrakhan. Excuse me. So these were things, especially in the South, that took place with millions of black men. People, you don't even fathom. And you know what, Brother Ray? When I was talking to Olivia Shaw today, and she was talking about one of the cases from 1947 that most intrigued her, because the son of this man had actually contacted missing persons about his dad, because he was 3 years old when his dad left home, right?
Wow.
And so she pulled the file. She looked at the son, looked at the man, and saw that the son was identical to the father. But mind you that the son had thought, you know, how we get these stories that your daddy left home a long time ago and he ain't never come back. He said he never came back. Well, a lot of them, Brother Ray, I found, if you go to the DOE website, D-O-E, and find the indexes, more than likely all those dads that went out to the store and never came back, you'll find them right there. As simple as I'm going to put it. So now, you have destroyed the fiber of the African-American family. This is, you know, everything is not a conspiracy. I don't want nobody to think that. I don't want nobody to think I'm paranoid and I'm just making up stuff. But it makes sense to me now, you know, because we've always been categorized as this substandard human being. Our men walk off and leave us, you know, and they leave us with these children, and this is what happened during Willie Lynch. And so the black man has been conditioned to just be a stud and leave his woman. All that's fine, because some of that is true. But I tell you that all praise is due to a lot of technology, Brother Ray. We can really look back to the past. Everybody's daddy didn't just walk off.
That's right.
And like my father says, you drain the Mississippi River, it's the largest cemetery of black people. Because the Mississippi River has that kind of sediment. It's almost, not quicksand, it's almost like quicksand, but it's so muddy and murky. The mud in the Mississippi River will weigh you down, so very seldom you come up. So mostly anything you throw in the Mississippi River, unless it floods out of its banks, it never comes up.
Wow.
And mind you, I know my father knows what he's talking about. He would have been living today. He would have been 124 years old. So these were the stories I heard when he was, you know, 75, 80 years old. He was 88 when he died. So these are the things that I heard. And my brother, who is still living, who's 108, these are the stories that I heard when they were traveling and doing different things in the South, how they had to stay away from certain places because these are the things that were happening. They were pushing and beating and pushing and killing men and throwing them out the Mississippi River like that was the thing to do on Saturday night. Countless of men of lives gone. So I'm saying to everybody that this hasn't stopped, but we are the most intelligent generation today.
That's right.
We have power, which is knowledge. We have to use it. You know, it's not cultural that our children run away. What the hell are they going to run to? First of all, black people, they too scared of being outdoors and hungry. Your child is not going to go to a baby and leave,
that's right.
And leave what
that's
is
right.
Actual. I mean, it's just not in our culture. Come on, people. And I'm not trying to rant. I'm not trying to rate. I'm trying to educate you on some things. You don't have to believe me. Go to the DOE website and look for yourself. Just looking at the number of indexes will make your stomach churn because you would not believe how many unidentified bodies that are stored in morgues across the country. You would not believe it. I went to that page and I almost got seasick. I cannot believe they have these many people cataloged that are dead and missing, and some of them have been found and unidentified. For one reason or the other. So I'm not going to really talk anymore. I want to give somebody else a chance to talk. Brother Jamil, Brother Rakeem, Brother Ray. And we have a question. The sister asked how we best get in touch with social media to bring attention to this. I'm just going to say my answer would be that it has to be a collective effort. It's not anything that any of us can do as an individual, but all of us together can do a lot. That's my answer. So anyone else wants to respond to Sister, I'm sorry, Sister Lydia's question. Brother Ray?
Yeah, Brother Ray. If I may, sis, we can do what our, first of all, if we're on social media, if we're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever social outlet or media that we may be a part of, and we have friends, we can post individually, and then that post will hit all of our friends' page. And we can ask our friends to do the exact same thing. If they are indeed your friend, and a topic as important as this, missing children, missing black people, just missing people, period, particularly our own. If these individuals are our friends and we ask them to post on their page and they decide that that's not something that they want to do, then really, are they a friend of yours? We have to make sure that these individuals and hold them accountable. I sell mine, and I go on my page, and I make sure that these individuals are posting certain things that I ask to be posted or retweet certain tweets that I put out there, and particularly about a topic as important as this here. Missing children or missing people, period, hits me with the heart. And if it does not, and if it's not, I mean, for just to listen at how many even adult males are taken. And you can't say that it's an attack on us, and you want to call us conspiracy theories? Call us what the hell you want to call us. But go and Google something. One thing about social media, it gives you the opportunity to flood you with information. Now, you have to be able to discern whether that information is factual or not, but you can look around and see that black people are coming up missing, and somebody, people that's on this phone know somebody that have come up missing somewhere in their lifetime. And how did that affect you and us when that was brought to our attention? I remember in the 80s, when I was a youngster in the 80s, and in Atlanta they had all these children coming up missing. And they thought that was the work of Wayne Williams, some black man was taking all these children. That was crazy as hell. These crackers were taking these white people was taking these children, and they was killing them, taking these adults, and they was killing them, and you're absolutely correct, using their body parts for an unhealthy person to become healthy again. So we don't think that exists, then we are crazy. And use social media as an information outlet to inform our people. Who cares about the foolishness that goes on day to day? Inform our people of what's happening out there, and then hold our people accountable. How can they know? Lest they have a teacher. How can they have a teacher? Lest the teacher be sent. And that teacher don't necessarily have to be the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. He's on his job doing his thing. If we have an outlet and a voice, we can teach too. We can go on one of these websites, Google something, repost that, retweet that, and send that out. That's information. That's someone teaching. And we have to be more aware of what's going on in our surroundings. So sis, the person who asked the question, use social media as a highway to inform our people.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Brother Ray. Okay. And Brother Jamil, I think you, I know better than myself, you can certainly inform people on how to use social media. So in your opinion, what is the best way? I mean, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Tumblr, we have Instagram, we have, I don't know if my face is still alive or whatever, I ain't been on it so long, but I know there are like 30, 40 social websites that we have. What is the best way to really just kind of get the snowball effect, so to speak, to, get attention in anything? Because certainly what you all have done with Club 17 is magnificent.
Wow. Sister, first of all, I appreciate the compliment. But I think it's just, it's just by being a leader. You just have to be a leader. There's so many followers on these social networks, especially in the youth, and that's what's hurting us right now. Everybody wants to follow what they see as successful in the media, but they have to understand that that's a tool that's used to take our focus off what's most important. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. We're being blinded right now, and I said this before last time I was on this radio station. Our generation is being blinded, and it's unfortunate because years later down the road, we're going to realize how much time we wasted, you know. So we can be most beneficial on social networks by everyone being leaders, by everyone saying things that they truly feel. Even if they're wrong or right, at least it'll cause a discussion. At least you may be able to learn something, but you use that tool of social media differently. You have to be yourself on social media, in a sense, you know. Of course, have discretion, but don't be a follower. Don't fall in line. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're following righteousness. Yes, ma'am. So that's what I feel right now. I think we need to be trying to inspire one another to be leaders. That's most important. And educating, especially my age group right now, us college students, man, we have so much responsibility to the community. It's driving me crazy. But I'm just happy that that I'm firstly on this radio station, and secondly that I can be a part of something that's much, much bigger than me. So in time we will definitely make a change. This radio station, all the listeners, everyone, we will definitely make a change. We just have to unite.
And if I can come in off of that. And I tell him all the time, him being Jamil, I tell him that your image is everything. That whatever people see in the public of you is their perception of who and what you are. And we have to make sure that we give positive images or put positive images out there. And then those who want to follow, they'll be able to follow us in the positivity that they see. And most of those individuals who are following people are following the negativity of something, but somebody's leading them. So we have to have more of that generation to be a positive balance for the negativity that they're going to engage in. I'm not going to say everybody going to be doing the right thing. Hell, I've been that age. I didn't do right when I was that age. I was crazy as hell when I was young and that age. You understand? But I had role models and individuals in my life that would kind of guide me in the right direction. If I veered too far off, well, then back then they put their hands on you. Everybody put their hands on you in the neighborhood. You weren't going to just get away with doing whatever you wanted to do without being disciplined by the adult in that neighborhood. So I want Jamil generation, the younger generation, it's okay to lead, but we want to make sure that in that leader's position that your image dignifies who and what you are, because a person can say whatever they want to say about you, but if you got the right image out there, then those who look at you would defend the image that we portray. So that image have to always be that of positivity when we're out in the public.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got one question, and I will ask Brother Ray this question after you finish saying what you're about to say, Sister Gidget. I don't want you to forget what you're about to say.
Oh, I'm not gonna forget. Go ahead.
Okay. Brother Ray, I want to hear your input on this, and also yours, Brother Jamil. There's a lot of our people, and this pisses me off. We see a lot of things, we hear a lot of things, but we are so punctified and sissified that we never, ever report these things because we feel like we have such an, what's the word I'm looking for? We have such animosity against law enforcement that we feel like whatever we know is none of their damn business, so therefore our people suffer. So therefore, I'm saying that to say this. You have a lot of people that see children being kidnapped, women being kidnapped, grown men being kidnapped. They see it but don't say a damn thing about it because they don't want people to look at them as being weak, and also they don't want the police to know what they know because they feel like the police is the enemy. So what is your input on this not snitching or stop snitching thing, especially when it comes to our children and our people coming up missing?
Wow, a magnificent question. And it goes back to the snitches get stitches, and we don't want to snitch or we don't want to tell on anybody. That has been ingrained and instilled in us even as a youngster growing up. And we have become so insensitive or so afraid based on the history of the police department not serving the needs of the community. And when there are, and I have a lot of police friends. I have some friends that's a part of the FBI. I have some friends that's a part of the GBI. You understand? I have friends in all walks of life, and these individuals whom I trust, I'll make it my business to go and have a conversation with them. And if I see something, first of all, I'm going to try to do all I can to deal with that situation myself.
I'm going to make the call. I'm going to sound the alarm. I'm going to give the alarm walk by. I'm going to pass on to those who receive me. I'm going to pass on the orders of the day. I'm going to do all that I can. If I see somebody doing something that's not right, it's my duty to go, first of all, and let that individual know, man, what are you doing? And in the way of trying to snatch an individual who don't want to be taken, that's crazy as hell. If I see that, then I am engaging, and I'm going to involve myself in that from a physical perspective, because I don't think you have the authority to take someone by force, and then I'm going to report that I have done, but I can't stop in the middle of the formation to go say, Mr. Police Officer, something is going on over here, and I see it. I'm going to run to it and try to defuse the situation myself. But I'm also going to reach out to those law enforcement who I know, because it is their duty to serve and protect. That's their duty. But oftentimes they don't become dutiful when it comes to the black community. Their duty is to destroy the trust that black people can have with them in our community. So yes, I think we should be reporting things, find that good cop, because there are a couple of them out there who we can go and let them know what's going on, and then hold them accountable. But then that accountability lies on our shoulders as well, too. If we are seeing this going on, why don't we organize a group of brothers in our neighborhood? If they part of Crip Blood, whatever gang-affiliated organization that they may be in, hey, man, I know you're doing your thing. I'm not asking you to stop doing what you're doing. I'm only asking you, can you unite with me? Because somebody's in here taking our children. Somebody's in here, don't you know Bubble up the street that came up missing? Don't you know Shanae around the corner who came up missing? Don't you know Lil Ray Ray down the street, man, they ain't found him? I heard so-and-so is going on. All I'm asking you to do is be a watchman of your block. Since you want to patrol that part of the corner, then control that part of the corner. If somebody come in here trying to do something out of order, man, give the alarm. We always have 12 coming. We know when the cops are coming. We have them little codes that we have that we say when we don't want somebody in our neighborhood or somebody coming in our neighborhood that may particularly be a threat to us. We have a code or we'll say something. All I'm asking is that we do the same thing to organize the brothers in the community, and how best to do that by going out there and getting to know them. We got to be on the block with them. So what, they sell drugs? Hell, give them something else to do, then they won't sell drugs. So what are they doing, whatever they're doing? Don't come out there being the one who like you came down out of heaven. No, we all came up out of hell, man. I'm not going to bother that brother. That's his hustle. All I'm asking you to do, bro, if you see something going on, let us know, man, and we'll come out here and then join up to deal with that situation, man. Keep doing what you're doing so I can offer you something better that you don't have to do that no more. So I believe, brother, we should definitely report, you understand? But I also believe that we wholeheartedly need to act, and we need to involve the most trained, the most disciplined army that's out there, and that's the fruit of Islam.
The fruit of Islam. That's correct, brother.
Man, the well-trained group of men on the face of the planet Earth, the most disciplined men on the face of the planet Earth, and we don't have to have instructions coming from no damn captain, no damn lieutenant. We're the captain in ourselves. We're the lieutenant in ourselves. If we see something going on, organize a group of brothers, man, to go deal with that situation the best way that situation needs to be dealt with. And I'm not above and beyond doing whatever I have to do if I see somebody trying to snatch a child or a woman or even a grown adult trying to snatch them. Bro, we going to handle that business.
Oh, yes, definitely. Bro, Jamil.
Yes, sir, brother.
You have a beautiful uncle here, brother. I'm telling you, I'm enjoying the brother, and I love that fiery spirit, because I have the same exact spirit, especially when it comes to our children, our women, our children, and even the young brothers that are coming up missing.
That's right.
I tell anybody, I'm the damn police when I see something happening on my post, because anybody, you walk your post in a perfect manner. That post is not just a mosque. That post is not just a mosque or church or whatever. Your post is wherever you are, because Do ye not know that ye are the temple of the living God? And damn it, you got to know that you are a living God, and you got to be on the pole wherever you are. That's your temple.
That's right.
Wow.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
And so when we take things in our own hands, we don't wait on no damn police, because the police,
no,
the person
sir.
Might be gone or dead before the police even get there. So if you want to arrest
right.
me, damn it, arrest me if you want to, but I got a nation behind me that's not going to even let me suffer behind your damn bars.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, you know, we took Brother Kareem's spot, and Brother Kareem has so graciously joined us in these last few minutes. So since this is his show and his time slot, let's hear from Brother Kareem on this issue. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Kareem. He might be just listening. Brother Kareem? Okay. He might just be listening because he is working. But thank you, Brother Kareem, for letting us use your time slot. And, you know, what I wanted to say before Brother Rakim spoke, you know, I want to encourage everybody to get involved. So, of course, all of the men, all of the women. But I want you to involve the elderly in your community, because the elderly have been shut out of our society, and that is a beautiful resource of wisdom that we have just have taken out of our spiritual and growth and development diet. We do not consult with our elders anymore. And our elders, you know, they feel wasted away because we don't utilize them. We don't utilize their wisdom. We don't utilize the resources that they can provide to us. You know, we have some men who may be over 65, but they're healthy and they're strong. Ask them to look out in the community. Also, I want all of the black organizations, whether you belong to a church, whether it's the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Eagle Scouts, whether you are in the Greek family, whether you are a Sigma, oh, I can't even say that word, Brother Ray, Sigma,
watch your
mouth, Kappa,
sister.
Alpha, an Omega, whatever you are. And I'm calling out for the group, I groove out of New York and Hampton University, all of these people. You know, we can get our organizations together to be very vigilant in our community. It's going to take all of us to resolve this issue. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do a little something. And that little something can equal a lot when we all come together for a united cause. And so you can't tell me that under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if we can get a million men in Washington, D.C., we can get millions of people across the nation to stand up for their children. And I believe that
That's
we can do it, but we have to continue to enhance the awareness and the truth behind the circumstances under which our children disappear. And I hate to say it, but turn off the idiot box. Television programming is designed to program you to be desensitized to the realities of life. Just like when they put on Housewives of Atlanta and Housewives of R&B musicians or whatever, that is a depiction of what they want the world to look at black women as. And the same thing with these reality shows with husbands. They want you to think that this is how every black man acts. And it's a shame that some of us fell off of a dollar and we show our asses on television and we think that it's cool because we're getting paid. But money is not going to help bring the life back into our children who are missing, who are murdered, or who are even destroyed by some of the atrocities that they are facing under these circumstances. So, you know, we call on our celebrities to entertain us, but we don't hold them accountable for being responsible, even in their own communities. You got all these rappers and singers coming out of L.A. and Hollywood and Inglewood and Compton, and these are the same places where our children are coming up missing.
Yes, ma'am.
So I am going to call on the Ghetto Boys. I am going to call on a lot of the musicians, Ronnie Laws and them, who are here and from Houston area, and I'm going to ask them to participate in this effort. So if you know a celebrity, you know, if you can email them, call them, write them, whatever it is, whatever it takes to draw attention to this issue, since we want to be so entertained, then
yeah,
let them entertain us on an issue that matters. Because you don't
That's
have
right.
to worry about the future if you're killing it off today.
That's right.
You
That's
don't
it.
Have to worry about a future. You don't have to worry about where your children going to college if you're letting somebody snatch them up and kill them today. Now, this is a serious issue, and, you know, usually I really don't harp on things. I try to keep the shows interesting. I try to move on and have more intriguing topics, but I'm not here to entertain you. It is my prayer that I always offer, you know, life-giving, life-saving information. So I'm asking everybody on the phones, everybody in the chat room to be vigilant, to get involved to whatever degree you can. I don't want my sisters out there at night. I'm not asking you to do what I do. But you could be a part of what I call the Geek Squad. If you could just sit at home on the computer, post pictures of missing children, if you can gather data from your local police department about the circumstances under which children came up missing, believe it or not, the police will welcome your help because, hell, they're not doing it. They can't.
That's right.
Even
right.
if they're yeah. acting in good faith, the numbers are too big for them to handle.
Yeah.
Especially in
yeah.
these huge, huge metropolitan cities like Houston, who have, what, 5-6 million people, however many people it has, Los Angeles, who have millions and millions of people. The numbers are too great for law enforcement to handle, and it's not their responsibility. It's
yeah.
ours.
Yes, ma'am.
And we have no sense of community. We think that nothing matters outside of the parameters of our front yard and our backyard. As long as I'm good right here in this little square, whatever goes on next door and down the street and around the corner, it ain't got nothing to do with me. It got everything to do with you if you got to live there.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
And if we are not impacting policy, if we're not going to citizens review meetings, if we're not addressing city council, I don't give a damn how much you march and pray and protest. Until you affect policy, you will not see any change.
Mm-hmm. No, you will not.
So you have to move forward on impacting policy. Not just marching and to be heard. Being heard means nothing because what you say today, somebody will forget it tomorrow. But you have to implement change and make it policy. And once it's policy, then you've changed some things for the betterment of your people. But if we don't unite and ever try to change anything, then what the hell are we complaining for?
Do it,
evidently, we must like it. Well, I don't like it. I don't like hearing about five-year-old girls turning 20 and 30 tricks a day.
Wow. Wow.
I don't like girls dying at the age of 8 or 9 years old because some grown-ass man that penetrated her and she hemorrhaged to death. I don't like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Sis, and I know that you're making a plea. I'm asking every black man in the sound who can hear my voice. So I would like to give my number 404-979-1703 again. 404-979-1703. Particularly the brothers that are hearing my voice. I would like for us, because my job in the nation is a captain. You understand? And I would like to kind of get together with these brothers and see if we can organize and mobilize wherever we are. Here is the thing. I come to where you are. You understand? Because my schedule is such where I'm able to do that. But we get together as the brothers, and if that means that we go to your neighborhood today, another neighborhood the next day, another neighborhood next week, or they, whatever that means, but they're seeing black men patrolling their neighborhood, and then the sister will begin to start having the faith and confidence back in us. We go to the mosque, the local mosque, the local churches, the local civic and social organizations, and we ask for the brothers, the black men, to come out, man, and let's patrol our own neighborhoods. When I say patrol our neighborhoods, that's exactly what I mean. Anything come in that neighborhood that's not coming about the business of bringing peace, then we destroy their peace. We don't want no punctified, sissified, just punk niggas out there that don't want to fight when a fight breaks off, man. We can stop this mess overnight. We can really stop this overnight. When we start kicking ass, we'll stop all of this. Because we make them afraid of going after our people. We put the fear of God in them, and then that would correct their foolishness that they're doing. Or it would critique it to the point where they'll take it to another neighborhood. At least we're cleaning the block up. I'm calling the brothers, man. I just gave my number out there, man. Again, it's 404-979-1703. If you're serious about this, then let's get together. You can follow me on Facebook, Ray Humph Muhammad on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ray Muhammad 29. You can follow me on Instagram, at Ray Muhammad 47. You can follow me wherever you want to follow me, as long as you're going to follow me to action, man. I ain't got no time for foolishness. Ain't no punk in me. You bother our women, you bother our children, then we destroy your house. We destroy your block. We destroy your community, man. And when they start fearing the retribution of the black man, then a lot of this mess can stop overnight. It really can. We call the army of God, whether that be the FOI or whatever it is, we call them and start patrolling our own neighborhood. We'll stop this mess, man.
Oh, definitely. You know something, I want to say one other thing. And Sister Gidget, it was very ironic. That's why I say you're my big sister twin, my twin for real, because when you were talking about the young black girls. And I remember when I was in Compton once, and I think that was like 8 years ago, I was seeing 11, 12, 13-year-old girls walking down the street in some of the most seductive clothing, the one working for pimps.
Wow.
Working for pimps. I don't know, and I doubt the way they were dressed if they were working independently. But they were dressed like grown women walking the streets and soliciting men. So
wow.
I'm with Brother Ray on this right here. That wasn't only Compton. This happened in every major city across
that's
the
right,
United
that's
States
right.
and abroad. This happened in every major city. And my thing is, this ain't no punk in us, especially if we real men of God. We're FOI. You can be a Christian and still be in the army of God.
That's right.
You still worship the same God. Just because we say Allah and you say God, God does have a name. His name is Allah. That's his proper name. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you're still part of the army of God. So I said that to say this. When you see these young babies, it might not be your young baby. Your young baby might be in the bed, sleep, getting ready to go to school, or sitting home watching some cartoons and with a big bowl of cereal in their arms. But there's somebody out there suffering and crying, wishing that their little girl would come home, and they have no control over their little girl because there's some pimp out there controlling everything. And then you got some punctified-ass parents. They get kicked back, selling from the sale of their children's bodies. So therefore, the little girl's out in the street, and mama or daddy's sitting their ass at home waiting on this money to come in.
Wow.
And so when I say black and missing children, it don't mean that you're gone forever. You got children right now missing out of their bedroom because their asses are out in the street being pimped by these punk so-called men pimps who are using their bodies to make money because their asses are too lazy to go out and get a job or create a job for themselves. So they use the body of these young black girls to make their money for them while their parents are wishing that their children would come home. So I'm like this. If you see little children out like this, don't say, okay, that's not my baby. I ain't worried about it. It ain't my business. Hell, it could be your baby tomorrow.
That's right.
My daughter today, your daughter tomorrow. And you have the same problem I got if you ain't trying to help me put this and fix our community. Go out, you see little children on the streets, we're parents. In Africa, we raise, it took a community to raise a child. It took a village to raise a child. So we should let our children go astray in these streets and see them out there soliciting men for money. You even got little boys soliciting men for money.
That's right.
I don't want to leave out the little boys because we live in a society that makes us make evil and wickedness fair seeming. They make homosexuality and lesbianism fair seeming, and they want us to shut our mouths when we see something like that as if all of a sudden this is right, the right thing to do. This is normal. Hell no, it's not normal, and we ain't going to get up that bull crap. So we need to snatch these children if we see them in the paper city. We need to snatch them off the street.
That's right.
If you
got to
take them to your house, if you got to take them to your house and educate them, hell, if we got to go to every mosque in every major city and build, and not even build, make a makeshift home for children that are missing in the streets, we need to shelter our children and beat the hell out of these damn pimps that's pimping our children. That's what we need to do. Walk your posts in a perfect manner.
Keeping always on the alert. I'm with that.
Okay, gentlemen. Well, I think we've gotten the point across. And we're going to shut it down tonight. But, of course, we're going to be back on Saturday with this topic once again. And, okay, I think we got Brother Kareem now. Brother Kareem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. I'm so glad you can finally join us.
Well, first of all, let me say in the name of Allah, because I know you are open in the proper manner, but
yes,
I'm just
sir.
Coming in. I must say in the name of Allah, forgive me for not being able to be a part of this dynamic dialogue, because it wasn't just a conversation, it's a dialogue, and to say that everything that I was privy to, everything that I heard is right on point. And this is the time. This is the time. I mean, everything that's happening, I'm not making light of it, but everything that is happening to us is just as you said, because it's our responsibility, and it's happening to us because we have refused to submit. So now the winds are blowing, and we are being forced. to do what God has instructed us to do. Anybody that knows me knows that whatever I can do to help, I will help. I want to thank you, Queen Aziza, for bringing this and keeping this in front of us because it's vital. You know, there's not a whole lot I can say because, like I say, y'all have covered it all. You know, I'm just grateful that I am a part of Nation Building Movement and the network. And you know me, whatever I can do to help in this effort, just say the word, and you know it's on.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Sister Tasha have created a fly-in. I know I think Brother Ray and Brother Jamil are working on one, but right now we're just trying to use the flyer, promote that, and I change, you know, I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but anyone, you know, can change their profile picture to the flyer. On Mondays, we're going to start posting pictures of missing children, which I know some of you do that throughout the week anyway. I wish I had more time to get a lot of more pictures. I dedicated to researching and finding 5 children that I'm trying to personally bring home, but I am going to put forth more effort in posting pictures of missing children. And Brother Jamil, thank you so much for all of your efforts and everything that you're doing on Twitter and posting pictures and inspiring your generation to get involved in this effort. So, Brother Ray, I can never thank you enough for being that voice that we all going to call attention to. We all going to miss it when Brother Ray speaks.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And Brother
definitely.
Rakim, thank
That's
you
right.
for joining in this fight as well. And Sister Tasha, I can't thank you enough. And all the sisters there. I can't think of, oh, God, what's the mouse number? She's going to kill me. Is it 25 in Richmond?
24,
okay.
24.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank all of you so very much. Yes, ma'am.
I want to make a special announcement tonight. I want to make a special announcement tonight.
Okay.
Brother Rakim, I know my voice ain't that light. Please don't let it be. But anyway.
No, I just couldn't hear.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I want to say this. Nation Building Movement has a new page. We got a new page called Black and Missing. I want to inform everyone of that. That page just came into existence tonight. And I also want to, Sister Gidget, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I want you to be still for a minute.
That's not me. I don't know who that is. I think that's Brother Jamil or Brother Ray who moving around.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I'm
okay.
Still is tonight.
As of now, Sister Gidget, you are the CEO of Nation Building Movement.
Oh, really?
The sister... Oh,
yes. The last thing I needed was another job, but all praise is due to Allah.
I know that you're not into titles, and it's not about the title. It's all about the work. But you have put in all the work. You put all the work in, and that's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the woman is 75% of the work. Me, myself, I'm the chairman of Nation Building Movement because, hell, I've been in the damn chair while you've been working. So...
Okay.
And I've been sitting in the chair while she's been working. She's been doing 75% of the work. So as of tonight, Sister Gidget is not just a program coordinator or whatever it is. Sister Gidget is the Chief Executive Officer of Nation Building Movement. I'm just a founder and chairman of Nation Building Movement.
Hello,
thank you.
Long white bar.
All praises
to Allah. Brother Kareem is the president of Nation Building Movement. That's the president of Nation Building Movement, Brother Kareem. And Brother Jamil.
Yes, sir, brother.
You're the vice president of Nation Building Movement, brother. We're going to put all this in effect, brother. We coming up.
That's right.
Brother Rakeem, do you realize that these people got jobs?
they got jobs
on top of jobs.
Oh, yes, sir. And
they're
on the job right now, sister. I'm very proud of them. They're on their job right now.
Yes, sir, brother.
May Allah continue to bless you all. And without you all, this will not be possible at all. None of this will be possible. And I especially want to thank you, Sister Mariam Aziza, a.k.a. Digit Muhammad, my big sister. We love you much, sister. You've been putting in some work, a lot of work.
All praise to Sultan.
I'm sure our
nation's
proud of you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so, so very much. But it's certainly not me. It's all praise is due to Allah. I have nothing to do with this. I say this same prayer every day. You know, let His will be done. And
yes,
keep moving. So all praise is due to Allah. Well, listen, we are running over time, but let me give a rundown right quick. Tomorrow, join us 7 o'clock for Disaster Preparedness with Brother Rudolph, Sister Lachelle. On Wednesday, 7 o'clock, DJ Black Season and Friends. Thursday, I'll be right back here with Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth as we talk about the purpose of sex in your marriage. I know y'all not going to miss that. And then on Friday, join us with Student Minister James Muhammad as he does our live study group, put on the new man. On Saturday, we'll be right back here on this same issue. We plan to have a lot more people who are really working in this effort to find missing children to join us this weekend. So hopefully we'll be able to get some student ministers. Of course, we will have law enforcement on. We will have some criminal psychologists on as well this weekend. So that's 8 o'clock Saturday night. That's our 3-hour show. So it's from 8 to 11. So get your drink, get your snacks, whatever you're going to do, and join in. And then on Sunday, Brother Jamil will be back with What Must Be Done at 6:30 p.m. Central on Sunday. And then on Monday, inshallah, Brother Kareem will not have to work late, and we'll have another intriguing topic by him. And Brother Kareem, what is the topic for Monday?
Topic for Monday, inshallah, is A Torchlight for America. Let your light shine.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Okay, well, you heard it from the host himself. Brother Ray, Brother Jamil, Sister Tasha, we want to thank the national spokesperson for the Black Panther Party, Brother Sean, who he had to go to work. But thank you. Thank you for everybody who called it. All of you in the chat room, I'm trying to answer your questions, but I know tonight I just couldn't raise above emotion. And thank all of you who called in and listening. So we leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum.
Good night.
Good night.